Hi, welcome to Lendio Business Fuel. Today we have a very special guest. We have author Narina Hertz with us today. She's a famed economist, a prolific author, and she's just awesome. She's been on the cover of Newsweek. She's had her own TED Talk. So welcome to the show, Narina.
Thank you so much, Eric. It's great to be on.
All right. So you recently wrote a book called Eyes Wide Open, talking about decision-making. Could I ask you, where did the inspiration for that book come from?
Well, I've spent most of my career advising some of the world's most successful decision makers, CEOs, political leaders, on really big decisions. But about 6 years ago, I got really sick myself, and I had to make big decisions about, you know, what doctor to trust, what medical treatment to have. And as I went through that journey, and thankfully I'm 100% well now, but as I went through that journey, I started thinking about how little it is that we think about how to make decisions. And that was even me who'd been advising, you know, big top head honchos on decisions. I thought, you know, we really think very little about how to make decisions. And so whilst I was sick, I started really researching decision making. And in economics, in brain science, in psychology, and when I got well, I went around the world interviewing some of the smartest decision makers out there, from Hollywood film producers to people running big hedge funds to emergency room doctors to fighter pilots, really trying to piece together what it takes to make smart decisions when it matters, decisions that really affect your health or your wealth or your business.
Right. Yeah, and that's our audience is small business owners, so I'm sure this book would actually be really handy for them. I've been reading into it. I'm about halfway through, and there are some really, really great things in there. What are some of the best advice that you've or what's the best decision-making skills you think a business owner could use?
Well, I think, to single out just a few, and the book is jam-packed with, you know, great suggestions, great stories, great tips, but just to pull out a few. I think one thing that's really critical, and especially if you're a business owner yourself, is to make sure that you have in your orbit what I call a challenger in chief. You need someone who you trust and respect who will be the person who'll say to you, hang on a minute, have you thought about this? Or, wow, you're very, you know, this is what you think's going to happen, but blah, blah, blah. Or someone who's going to be that devil's advocate, play that role for you. You know, so it may be somebody within your company. It may be someone in your broader network, in your church, in your home. Someone who is that trusted individual you can run it by. And why I say it is that some of the smartest decision makers I met, they consciously had that person. So, for example, even Eric Schmidt, the chairman of Google, a big, successful businessman, he said that in meetings, he would look for the person who was kind of looking skeptical and, you know, sitting back, and he would say, what are you thinking? You know, what issues do you have with what we're saying? Because through those insights, he'd get smarter. So I think that's a really useful thing to do when you're running your own business. Have that way to gauge how you're actually doing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think in business, I've seen this a lot. A lot of times people kind of become yes men. And when you surround yourself with yes men, you really only have your perspective bounced off others. And so when you have someone in there criticizing and saying, hey, you haven't looked at it this way, better things to like better ideas.
So. Absolutely. Absolutely. In the knowledge that innovation comes about not only from the creation of ideas, but also from their destruction. So you have to be willing to test, innovate, create, but also destroy and not be too wedded to any plan that you become incapable of seeing problems, but also opportunities.
Yeah. You know, that actually reminds me of in college once, they gave us an assignment. They said, okay, you need to come up with an ad pitch. Okay, now throw that away. Now come up with another one. And I'll throw that away. And eventually the ideas just kept getting better and better because you're looking at it from more and more angles. So that's really great advice.
Well, you know, now, Abraham Lincoln famously had his team of rivals. I mean, he famously surrounded himself with really smart people who had very different points of views, in the knowledge that in that contrast, he would make better decisions.
Yeah, exactly. Now, for a small business owner, they're obviously making decisions, you know, day to day, and a lot of times they're on the fly. They may not be able to get a committee together. What would be your advice for those quick decisions they got to make within 10 minutes or less?
Well, I think definitely you want to categorize your decisions into two categories, the decisions you have to make. The ones that don't really matter, because when you're a small business person, you have so many decisions to make the whole time. So to agonize over, should you buy your printer ink from here versus here, little things which can, consume. No, you don't have time for that. So so you want to categorize. You want to go, what are the big decisions I have to make and what are the small ones? And with the small ones, you need to be quite ruthless. That was another thing I found. You needed to actually say, okay, I'm going to spend 1 hour maximum on these things, and then be quite ruthless and come to a decision. So set a time limit on the trivial decisions so that with the bigger decisions, you actually have some time to do your own research, because that's another big message from my book. Don't blindly follow experts. Don't blindly follow your accountant's advice or your lawyer's advice or, a forecast in the papers about, I don't know, how the economy is going to go, what oil prices are going to look like. I mean, we saw just very recently, of course, collapse of the oil price, and not predicted by big experts. So I think nowadays we can become such better information hunter-gatherers ourselves. So you want to have time when decisions matter to do your own research, which may be about going out to your network, which we can do now online in ways we couldn't before. So, use your network, use your social network, your LinkedIn, your Facebook, to get a steer, and when you're making your plans, take into account that the experts could be wrong, and think about, well, what is my plan B? What is my plan C if things pan out differently?
Right. Yeah, that's great advice. I mean, I think a lot of times business owners will get stuck in the paralysis of indecision. They'll fret over something for an hour and be like, oh my gosh, this doesn't even matter, but they've lost an hour.
Yeah, no, you have to set that limit. You really have to set the limit. The other kind of critical thing that came out of my research, and what was fascinating, was this was even people who one would just think, you must be so busy, was the best decision makers all consciously carved out thinking time every day, what I call TTT, time to think. Half an hour, some maybe 15 minutes, but they even put it in their diary, a lot of them. Some of them put in Project X so that their assistant wouldn't know what it was, because in our email overloaded, to-do list heavy, go, go, go lives, it's so tempting to just be in a state of continuous response. But the danger is that then the important gets crowded out by the immediate, and we can't make the strategic decisions, which for small business owners is essential, that's needed. It doesn't mean you just have to sit in your office and kind of think like that. For some people, it's going, they'll say, I'll do my thinking, my strategic thinking at the gym in the morning. I'll do it driving on my way to work. I'll do it when I'm taking a walk. But people consciously put it in the diary. And people have really great strategies that they shared with me, really practical things about things like dealing with emails, because I don't know what your life's like, but my life is just constant emails.
Constantly fighting emails, yep.
And one of the techniques which I now adopt, in fact, there are two techniques I learned from these wise people. One is I don't check my emails all through the day. I designate times. Maybe it's 4 times a day, maybe it's 5 times a day, maybe it's even 6 times a day. Because every time we check an email, it takes us 22 minutes to get back to the same level of focus we were at before.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, you check 10 emails throughout the day and you've lost quite a bit of time.
Exactly. And the other thing that I learned and that I now adopt is I take a digital Sabbath. One day a week, I don't go online. You need that time to be creative, to think, to recharge. And, try it, Eric. Try it for a week. See what it's like.
Try it for a week? Oh, I don't know about that. But
Try it for one day in a week.
Okay.
One day in a week. 30 minutes every day thinking time and see where you get to.
All right, sounds good. You know, I think you hit the nail on the head there. If we don't take time to think about strategy, then we could end up, spending our day just in response time and end up way, way off where we were supposed to be.
Exactly. And you see that happen with companies and you just think it's not a place you want to go.
No.
Smart decision makers take that time.
Yeah, that's great advice. Speaking of advice, I ask this to everybody that comes on the show, what's the best advice you have ever received?
I think for me personally, the best advice, and it's something that I was told actually by Dick Zanuck. Dick Zanuck was one of the most successful movie producers of all times. He made movies like Jaws, The Sound of Music, yeah. But when he was, amazing film producer, but when he was 30 years old, he made The Sound of Music, huge success. And he said, okay, afterwards, it was the biggest success of all time at the time. He said, okay, I know what to do. And he made three more movies, all very similar. Hello, Dolly, Star, Dr. Dolittle, musicals, kind of same sort of vibe. And they all tanked. Disaster. And it's the advice I got from him many years later when I said to him, Dick, what went wrong? And he said, history is not an army on a forward march. What worked yesterday may not work tomorrow. And I think in a world that's so fast moving, a world like ours, with technology changing industry after industry, where, what's happening economically, demographically, really potentially affecting our business, remembering that even what worked for us yesterday may not work tomorrow is something really useful as a business person to keep in mind, because it pushes you to constantly be looking forward and not be looking backwards.
Right. Well, that's really good advice. And you're exactly right. With the way technology moves, I do a lot of marketing, and so let's just take marketing, for example. Some campaign that worked a week ago could not work, the next week could be completely tank.
Exactly. And I think kind of it's very easy. There's, I'm sure you've read Harry Potter.
Yeah, who hasn't?
Okay. So when J.K. Rowling tried to sell Harry Potter, all the leading publishers in the UK and the US turned it down, all of them. They turned it down because they said, we know what works. They said, we know what works, boy, and we know what doesn't. Boys won't read a big book. Kids don't want fantasy. Children want books about social issues nowadays. And they had a whole list of beliefs, wisdoms, and they all turned it down. And it took a new guy in publishing with a very small publishing house in the UK to buy the book. He only paid for about $3,000 for it, for the manuscript.
That's a good lesson.
It's a really good lesson because, we can get trapped in beliefs about what works and what doesn't, which actually may not be right. And I think, especially nowadays, when we're trying things out as business people, it is a matter of trying things out and new things.
Yeah.
Because often they're the ones, as you say, from your own experience, they're the ones that can pay off.
Yeah, exactly. I think in a world that's moving as fast as today, the innovators are really the ones that will pull ahead.
Definitely.
Seen so many businesses that look at Kodak, for instance. You know, they had a really good opportunity to jump into the digital camera market. They had the brand, they had the distribution, and they were too slow.
Yeah. And
they've tried to get into it since then.
It just, or Nokia.
Yeah.
I mean, in 2007, four out of every 10 handsets sold globally was a Nokia handset. Four out of every 10. And when Apple introduced the iPhone, Nokia was completely left sleeping at the wheel. And what happened, and I tell this story in my book, what happened is, this is really scary, engineers at Nokia had actually designed a phone very similar to an iPhone. It had a color screen, it had a touch screen, it had a swipe. But when they took it to management, management said, no, we know what makes us a successful company. And what makes us a successful company is that we have a phone that you can drop from 7 feet and the screen doesn't crack. And that's what people really care about more than anything else. As we all learned, people were willing to give up a few, willing to live with a few cracks on their iPhone screens.
Oh, for sure.
So
I remember those old Nokia bricks, man. Those things, you handed Nokia, those things lasted. I dropped so many times.
I know, but do you still have a Nokia today?
Nope. I'm gone. Yeah, that's a.
And you've got finished roots even, so you'd have
I know, that's the most painful part of that story. My mom's from Finland, for all my viewers that didn't know, and boy, Nokia's from Finland, so that one hits close to home. All right, so speaking of terrible, terrible mistakes, what's the worst mistake you've seen business owners make?
This one maybe, it's one that I saw from, which I found out about in research, but then I run it by business owners, and people are like, oh, I may well have made this mistake. So I came across this fascinating research. It was done with judges in Israel. The researchers wanted to find out why a judge granted parole to the criminal in front of them. Was it because of the gender of the applicant? Was it because of the ethnicity? Was it because of the type of crime? No. The single biggest reason for whether a judge granted parole or not was whether the judge had recently eaten.
Really?
Seriously, if you went before the judge just before their 10 a.m. mid-morning snack, disaster. 0% chance of getting parole. Immediately after the snack, shot up to 65%. Just before lunch, disaster. 10% chance of getting parole. Immediately after, shot up to 65%. And what I have, what I talk about in the book, there is a whole chapter which is about how our physical and our emotional states can really affect our decisions. And we don't think about that stuff, do we? We don't think about how if we're stressed because, I don't know, our kid's playing up at school or our parent is, you know, being really stressful. We don't think that could be making us just generally at work much more risk averse that day. Much more tunnel visioned.
Right.
We don't think about how not enough sleep can really affect our decision making. I mean, President Clinton talks about how the worst decisions he ever made in office were when he hadn't had enough sleep. And there's a lot of research now on how not enough sleep can really affect your decision making. So there's a whole host of physical and emotional states that if we want to make smart decisions at work, we need to be very mindful of.
Right. Well, I think you have to be aware of how you're feeling. I mean, that's terrifying. Like, parole, like, that's a big decision. Like, some guy's been in prison for 10 years, and he's like, today's the day, and the guy didn't have his morning bagel. And, wow, that is...
And you want to, and then, you know, when I've run this by kind of business people, I've had people say, for example, I won't disclose the company, but at one company they say, like a big company, they said, gosh, it's so true, because when at our board meetings, they said, if we have learned, and they've just learned it by experience, that if we want the board to pass something, we will do it just before lunch.
Wow, yeah, because they're like, let's get this through, I'm hungry.
Yeah, exactly. So when you're, you know, when you're courting a customer or negotiating a deal, you might want to think about stuff like that.
I know. Now I'm starting to wonder how many wars have been could have been averted if we just ordered a couple pizzas, you know? Oh, man, that is some scary stuff. Well, that is some really good advice. The worst mistake you see business owners make is not be aware of their physical state when they're making decisions. That is just absolutely great advice. Well, Narina, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Again, everybody go out and read her book, Eyes Wide Open. It's really good. It will change the way you make decisions. Thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you, Eric. It's been a pleasure. I look forward to coming to Utah again and seeing you in your place.
Yeah, come on out. It's a great place to be. All right. Well, we'll see you all next week. Thanks for tuning in.